a t-shirt and jeans, mac and cheese. Some things in life are an obvious match, like RIAs and Schwab Advisor Services, the number one choice for independent advisors. The difference is so obvious, it's Schwabvious. Learn why at Schwabvious.com.
With the state of today's economy, it's more important than ever to invest in products that last for years to come. As the seasons shift and get cooler, make sure your closet is stocked with durable layers that stand the test of time from American Giant. American Giant's clothes work harder and are wearable season after season. Their greatest hoodie ever made is made from the highest quality materials that are cut and sewn right here in the United States. So you're investing right back in your local community. Choosing American Giant means taking a stand for American manufacturing and hardworking Americans, something other mega corporations don't care about. From fleece to knit, all in a range of colors for versatile daily wear, American Giant delivers everyday pieces designed for everyday life. Feel the difference of quality, made-to-last clothes from American Giant. Get 20% off your first order with code STAPLE20 at American-Giant.com. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com with code STAPLE20.
With the state of today's economy, it is more important than ever to invest in products that last for years to come. As the seasons shift and get cooler, make sure your closet is stocked with durable layers that stand the test of time from American Giant. American Giant's clothes work harder and are wearable season after season. Their greatest hoodie ever made is made of the highest quality materials that are cut and sewn right here in the United States. So you're investing right back into your local community. Choosing American Giant means taking a stand for American manufacturing and hardworking Americans, something other mega corporations don't care about. From fleece to knit, all in a range of colors for versatile daily wear, American Giant delivers everyday pieces designed for everyday life. Feel the difference of quality made-to-last clothes from American Giant. Get 20% off your first order with code STAPLE20 at American-Giant.com. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com with code STAPLE20.
You're listening to continuing coverage of the Abby Zwirner civil trial from the Hidden Killers podcast and True Crime Today.
Not here, Mark.
Thank you. All right, your next witness is...
It's Jennifer West, Your Honor.
All right, Ms. West, you can come stand here in front of me and raise your right hand.
Do you swear that the testimony you're about to give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, and
nothing but the truth? I do.
Thank you.
Come up here, right?
You may proceed.
Thank you, Your Honor. And has Ms. West been sworn in, Your Honor? Thank you. I appreciate that. And may you state your name for the record, please, and spell it for the court reporter.
Jennifer West, JennifeWest.
Thank you. And Ms. West, can you tell the jury, how are you currently employed?
I'm a first grade teacher at Richneck Elementary.
And how long have you been a teacher?
23 years.
Where were you on January 6, 2023 as a teacher?
Richneck Elementary.
And which grade were you teaching then?
First grade.
And you're familiar with Abby Zwirner?
Yes.
Okay. Can you tell the jury how you knew her on January 6, 2023?
She was my teammate and taught across the hall.
And tell the jury, on that day, did something happen at recess that stuck out to you?
Yes. My class was a few minutes late going out to recess. Abby's class and another class were already outside. When I got out there, I was told that, or Abby told me that she saw JT take something from his backpack and put it in his coat. And I spent the rest of recess kind of watching JT and another student, R. They kept going behind the tree at the playground, and then R would walk away. They'd come back together, and I witnessed that for 15 or 20 minutes while we were outside.
And then after recess, tell the jury, where did you go immediately after recess?
I went initially, and we had a second entrance into the school. I had a student that was acting aggressively, and I opened the side door, and he took off into the hallway, and I followed him down that other hallway towards the office. And when I got to the office, I hollered inside to Mr. Sims, our music teacher, who was standing at the counter, and told him I needed some help with this student. Continued down the hall, and when I got to the corner, the student turned right, and to the left is the first grade hallway. And at the intersection, I ran into Mr. Rawls and Dr. Parker.
Right. And let me slow you down right there. What did you do with the rest of your class when you went after the other boy?
We were in the process of lining up from recess, and when we come in from recess, one teacher typically would blow a whistle, and every class would get in line with their teacher. And so my class walked inside with Abby's class and the other. I don't remember if the other teacher had gone in yet or not.
And just so the jury understands, so when you're at recess, it's typically all the first grade students?
Yes.
Okay. And so back to you said you saw Dr. Parker and you saw John Sims.
Yes.
And then where do you go from there? Do you turn back to your class?
I went to my class, yes.
So as you're walking to your class, is there anything you do involving the other student R who you saw with JT at recess?
I did. I asked to speak with him to ask him what was going on at recess.
Let me just ask you, why did you talk to R?
Partially to find out, because we were watching their interaction.
To find out what?
What there, it seemed that something was being hidden at recess. And when I pulled R out of, I can't honestly remember if it was from the line or from the classroom, but I pulled him to the hallway.
And let me ask you, was there anyone else in the hallway with you as you're talking to R?
Not initially.
Okay.
Abby may have been standing at her door because we had both our classes. And I asked him what was going on. He said, I can't tell you. And he was visibly nervous. And I said, it's okay, you can tell me. And he said, no, I can't. He said that he would hurt us, he would blow us up. And I said, well, what do you mean? I said, it's okay, you can tell me. And he told me, he said that JT had a gun and he saw it in the bullet. And I said, well, what color was it? Trying to see if it was real or not, I guess. And he said, well, it was bullet colored. And he was crying at that point, teary-eyed, and I had him come into my classroom, and I called the office to report it, and Mr. Sims answered the phone, and then I went back to my door, and Mr. Rawls was bringing my other student back to me.
And before you get into Mr. Rawls, why did you feel the need to call the office and report it?
Because R had said that JT had a gun.
Was that the protocol to call the office and report it
yes.
to an administrator?
Yes.
And did you send R back to Ms. Werner's class
no.
or did you keep R in
I
your
kept,
class?
I kept R in my class for the rest of the day. He was visibly scared. He was worried that JT was going to act, which is why he didn't want to tell me to begin with.
And can you describe for me, as you're talking about him being visibly scared, what does that look like?
You could just, his demeanor, his facial expressions. When I said, it's okay, you can tell me, when the words finally came out of his mouth, he had tears. I was at that point convinced that he had seen something.
Okay. And then you were talking about Mr. Rawls coming down to your classroom. So what happened then?
Mr. Rawls brought my student back to me, and I said, can you talk to him? Mr. Rawls is a guidance counselor, so we rely on them to speak to children when they have some big emotions. And I said, he's scared. He is visibly shaken. Can you please talk to him? And I reported to Mr. Rawls that I had been told that JT's backpack had been checked while we were at recess. And I said to Mr. Rawls, why can't we check his person? R says he had it on him. Can we check him? And at that point, Mr. Rawls left my room.
Let me slow you down right there. So before Mr. Rawls leaves your room, do you see Mr. Rawls talk to R?
I can't remember if I saw the conversation or not. It was right outside my classroom door, and I honestly don't remember where my position was at that point.
Once Mr. Rawls is leaving and R is coming in, what does he look like then? What's his demeanor? How is he acting?
He was scared. I had him sit at one of my tables. A student was absent, so I put him in the empty student seat. And every time he'd get up, he got up frequently and it was like side eye to look out the classroom door window. It seemed to me that he was checking to see what was going on across the hall.
When he came back from talking with Mr. Rawls, did he still have teary eyes?
Yes.
Teary eyes. So tell me, did Mr. Rawls go when he left your classroom?
He said he was going to Dr. Parker to ask permission to search. Okay. JT.
And then did you see Mr. Rawls again that day?
He came back and told me that we were told we could not search him.
Okay. And then did you keep R in your class the remainder of time?
Yeah, R stayed in my classroom even after the incident.
And when you say the incident,
the shooting.
And did you hear the shooting?
Yes.
Okay. Once you heard the shooting, what did you think that was?
I knew it was a gunshot.
And where did you think it had come from?
Abby's room.
Did someone open your door at that moment?
I did. I opened the door, and Abby's class came across the hall. I saw a side view of Abby. I couldn't see her face. I knew that she had been shot because there was blood on the floor, and I saw her hand. And once I got all of the students in, I shut my door and followed lockdown procedures, even though it locked on, had not been called yet.
And are still with you in the class at that time?
Yes.
And did you see JT at that moment?
I did not.
But you knew at that time?
Yes.
That something had happened. JT had done something.
Yes.
And you knew at that time it was a gun?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you. That's all the questions I have right now. I appreciate it. If you'll answer any of opposing counsel or the judges.
Cross-examination.
Thank you, Ron. Ms. West?
Yes.
You're one of the lead first grade teachers at Richland Elementary School, is that correct?
Yes.
And that was the case back in 2023 as well, right?
Yes.
And by lead first grade teachers, that means that you're in the hierarchy of responsibility there at the school. You have some teachers that work under you, or you have some authority over them, correct?
I don't know that they're not, they don't work under me. I'm the lead of the team. What that means is I attend meetings at the district level and disseminate information to my team that way. And I am part of the lead team at the school, but I'm not in charge of any teachers.
That's right. And part of your responsibility as a lead teacher also is you can serve as a mentor for fellow teachers.
It has nothing to do with being a lead. I can choose to be a mentor teacher. I just happen to be both.
And you were a mentor to Ms. Warner?
Yes. The previous year, her first year in first grade.
As her mentor, you kind of showed her the ropes with classroom management. You showed her the ropes with how school works and school operates, and you try to share and impart knowledge to her, right? As her mentor.
Yes.
In addition to having the opportunity to mentor folks, sometimes you have some supervisory responsibilities at the school.
I'm not sure what you mean.
Say, for example, as lead teacher, isn't it typical, or was it typical at the time, that you would have a walkie-talkie if you went out to recess? That would usually go to the lead teacher.
I don't believe it would. I believe it was the first teacher that went out to recess would get the walkie-talkie, so that there was one on the playground regardless of who was out there.
Understood. On January 6, 2023, you had a walkie-talkie.
I did at the end of the day, like after recess. I honestly don't remember having it prior to the lockdown.
On January 6th, the first time you encountered Mrs. Warner was out on the playground at recess, correct?
No, at lunch.
At lunch?
Yes.
That was in Ms. Miller's classroom?
Yes.
And that's when Mrs. Warner came in and you referred her to go and speak to the administration, right?
Yes.
After that, the next time you encounter Abby was on the playground, correct?
Yes.
When On January 6th, when you went to recess that day, you got there a little bit late, right? Mm-hmm. So ordinarily, it'd probably be around 12:20, 12:25.
Yes.
You were there around 12:35.
Yes.
Right? And correct me if I'm wrong, but I understand your testimony today to be when you arrived on the playground, Ms. Warner let you know that she suspected or had reason to believe that JT might have a firearm on his person.
I don't specifically remember her saying firearm. I remember in the notes that I wrote down from that day was that she told me she witnessed him take something. I wasn't convinced it was a firearm until I spoke with R.
Okay. Once you arrived on the playground, did she immediately notify you?
Within a couple of minutes, likely, yes.
Okay. Ms. West, I'm going to show you an exhibit which has been marked for identification as Defense 63H. And I just want this to be displayed to Ms. West and counsel.
63H?
That's correct.
Yes.
All right. I'm going to play a portion of this clip and ask if you recognize the individual who appeared on the screen. All right. Can you play, please? All right. Can we pause here, please? Okay. Ms. West, do you recognize, is this a fair and accurate representation of you coming onto the playground at recess time on January
6th, 2023? I don't know. Are you talking about on the sidewalk?
Yes.
I honestly don't know if that's me or not, but it might be.
Sure. You can continue playing, Brian. Right. And that individual who just passed, the person in the green sweater, that was Abby's owner, right?
Yes.
Okay. Do you recognize yourself in this image now?
Yes.
Okay. So that's you, Miss West, standing there on the playground on the day before the shooting occurs, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, you just saw that you passed Ms. Warner on the way out onto the playground. At that stage, she had not informed you?
I don't believe so. I can't say for sure.
Right. And you'll see that in this display, you're the only adult on the playground at this stage.
Okay.
You would agree?
It appears so.
And there's multiple children out there, right?
Yes.
You're the only adult supervising those children, correct?
That's what it looks like, but there are, we would like station ourselves in other places, so.
Sure, we can continue playing the rest of the clip.
Okay.
But this image here, you're the only adult.
Can be seen by camera, yes.
Correct. Brian, if you could continue playing the clip, please. Brian, let's do. Let's do 63F, or excuse me, let's do 63I, please. So this is skipping forward. If you could pause here, Brian, please. Ms. West, can you see in the upper right quadrant, the upper right corner of this video?
Mm-hmm.
There's an individual out there. Do you recognize that?
I mean, it looks like me.
Okay. And Brian, please continue playing. All right, and Your Honor, I would ask for permission to publish this to the jury. I believe I overlooked that initially.
Is there any objection?
No objection, Your Honor.
All right. Permission to publish.
All right, at this stage, which has been paused, it looks like you're in the upper right corner of the surveillance image here. Well, Abby's Warner is across from you on the other side of the playground, correct?
Yes.
Okay. And then, Brian, due to my oversight, if we could go back to the original clip. And just show that for the jury, if we can publish that, please. We'll see Ms. West come onto the playground, pass Mrs. Warner. And if you could pause, please.
And that's 62H that you just showed, is that correct?
This is E, Your Honor. 62E. Or sorry, this is
63H,
excuse me. Miss West, while you're here on the playground here, at this stage, you have no knowledge whether or not John Doe possesses, or JT possesses a firearm, right? No one's given you any warning.
I don't recall specifically, but probably not.
Right, and so Ms. Warner, at that stage, had knowledge that JT
possesses. Judge, I would object at this point for speculation. He's saying what another person had knowledge of. Yeah. That's inappropriate.
Lack of foundation at this point.
That's fine. She cannot testify to that, but it's been established.
The objection is sustained.
Thank you.
Thank you, Your Honor. Ms. West, you've testified that at some stage while you were out on the playground, you were eventually informed that JT might have a weapon, right?
Yes.
Okay. And you said that you were trying to keep an eye on him, right?
No, I was informed that he took something from his backpack. I can't speak for sure if I was told it was a weapon.
And from that point onward, you were trying to keep an eye on him, right?
Yes.
Okay. And your testimony today was that you were trying to remain vigilant because you suspected that he might have a weapon.
Have something. I was told he took something from his backpack.
When you were on the playground, did you feel in fear for your safety?
I don't know. I was watching 40-ish children and keeping an eye on somebody that we were unsure.
And after you received the report from Ms. Warner that JT might possess a firearm, and you began watching him, at that point, were you concerned for your safety?
Honestly, I don't know. It is a blur. But again, I don't recall specifically if the word firearm or gun was used at that time. I was convinced that there was a gun after I spoke with R after recess.
Court's indulgence, please. At some stage when you were out on the playground, Ms. West, you had another student who became disruptive, right?
Yes, when we were lining up.
Right. And at that stage, you had already received information that JT might have a weapon, right?
Again, I can't say for sure that the word weapon or gun was used. My notes that I wrote down that day, I just said that it was reported that he took something. I can't speak clearly that I was told it was a weapon.
When you returned to the school to deal with that student and you got inside, you encountered Dr. Parker.
For about 2 seconds, we walked past each other.
Right. And you walked past her because you were dealing with the other student who had become disruptive on the playground.
I was following him because he was eloping. He was running from me.
He was running from you?
Yes.
And you contacted Dr. Parker and asked for assistance, right?
I don't remember what I said to her, but it was literally in passing. It was not a stop and have a conversation.
And a guidance counselor or?
Was also in the hallway with Dr. Parker.
Intercepted the child?
Yes.
And took him to the main office to be disciplined?
I don't know where he took him.
When you encountered Dr. Parker in that hallway, you didn't disclose any of the information you had received.
I did not, because I was not convinced until after that when I spoke with R.
So your suspicion that JT might have an actual weapon of some kind didn't materialize until you spoke to RR, is that correct?
I was convinced when I spoke with R.
But up to that point, you were had a suspicion?
Yes. And I didn't. I was focused on my student in that moment, and I don't know why I didn't say anything when I walked past Dr. Parker in the hallway.
When you, even though when Ms. Warner first reported that the student might have had an item on this person, it was possible that he might have a weapon, right?
It was possible, yes.
And you're familiar with the protocols that were...
To report to an administrator.
But also, if, is it your understanding that if someone reports that there's a suspected weapon, you should presume that it's legitimate?
I'm not sure what you mean.
So you're not familiar with the protocols?
Oh, I'm not sure what you're asking. Can you ask that again?
I'm asking that you had received information that the student might have something that may or may not be a weapon, correct?
Yes.
Okay. And despite that knowledge, you remained on the playground with multiple students.
Yes.
You allowed that child to continue playing. You allowed that child to continue playing with other children.
What should I have done?
Detain them?
How am I supposed to detain him?
Isolate them? Evacuate the area?
Alert?
Use a walkie-talkie to contact the...
That's not something you would put over a walkie-talkie.
You wouldn't want to share with the school that there's a suspected weapon?
You wouldn't alert the entire school over a walkie-talkie that there's a suspected weapon.
But you would allow a child in possession of a suspected weapon to commingle with other children?
It was my understanding that Dr. Parker had been made aware by another teacher and while we were at recess.
And so you took no measures to isolate this child, to detain him?
I did not try to isolate him, no.
Rather, you prioritized disciplining another student.
It wasn't disciplining, he was eloping. And I was keeping him away from harming somebody. He was putting his hands on another student.
Right, you perceived that as an imminent threat to that student. That's why you followed that student, correct?
Because I witnessed it, yes.
And you took action on it, right?
Well, I opened the door and he ran.
And you left the playground when you did that?
I did.
And JT remained on the playground when you left?
Yes.
With the other students?
Yes.
With a potential firearm?
That Dr. Parker had already been made aware of.
You have received no confirmation that she received any information to that effect?
The confirmation came from my coworkers telling me that she had been made aware.
Your coworkers who remained on the playground with you?
One of them, yes, but one of them was not on the playground.
Ms. West, you've testified that when you left JT on the playground, you didn't know whether or not you had a weapon.
I was not confirmed, no.
But your testimony today was that you didn't even think that he had a firearm?
No. I said it was suspected. I didn't know what it was. Once I questioned R and he told me that he had seen a weapon, and I saw how scared R was, how visibly shaken he was by the threats of harm from JT. That's what convinced me that it was a weapon.
And let's fast forward a little bit. Once you spoke to R about the reports or information he received about JT, that's when you decided to contact the administration, right?
Yes.
But you didn't go there directly.
I couldn't go there. I had a classroom full of children.
But you left them on the playground before last time.
They were getting in line with another teacher.
You only leave children on the playground when you suspect one of them has a firearm?
That's never happened before or since.
It happened on January 6th.
You are correct.
I am correct.
But there was no protocol in place for that other than report to your administrator.
There was no protocol in place?
It was report to your administrator, and it had been reported.
So, meanwhile, you had information that a child might have a weapon. You allowed children to remain on the playground unsupervised?
Judge, objection. This question's been asked and answered numerous times at this point. Her answer's not going to change.
I can move on from this.
Right, that objection is sustained.
Thank you.
Ms. West, you've testified that when you arrived on the playground, you weren't told specifically whether or not JT had a gun.
That's what my notes, I wrote down notes that night, and that's what my notes say.
You recall testifying at a deposition in this matter?
Yes.
You remember being placed under oath?
Yes.
You swore to tell the truth?
Yes.
Brian, if you could pull up page 73 of the August 13th, 2025 deposition.
Remind, what was the page number again? Just for my bad.
It's page 73. Sorry, Ms. West. Page 73, if you go and direct your attention to lines 17 to 19. You recall you were questioned. So at that moment, you're out on the playground and you think John Doe has a gun. And you respond, I'm told that he does, yes.
Yes.
So your testimony under oath at the deposition preceding this trial was that Ms. Warner had reported to you that this child had, in fact, a firearm.
That's what I said then, yes.
And you were unequivocal at that stage?
I don't recall. It was an emotional time during the deposition.
I imagine it would be an emotional time on a playground when a teacher reports that a child has a gun, right?
It would, sure.
Yet, you left him on the playground thinking that he had a gun and you didn't do anything.
Judge, again, I'm objecting. It's been asked and answered a few times.
Sustained.
Thank you.
I have no further questions. Is what is, Judge?
Before you sit down, did you show a second video clip or was that a clip that you showed?
There were multiple clips. I think there was
63I was the second one.
That's correct.
That's Brian, by the way, for the transcript. All right. Redirect.
Just one question, Your Honor. Can you tell the jury who was the teacher that you understood was telling Dr. Parker while you were at recess that they thought JT had a gun on the playground?
Amy Kovac, her reading specialist.
And I guess second question. Who did you think she was telling that to?
Dr. Parker.
Okay, thank you.
All right. Any follow-up based on that?
One question. The reason you thought Ms. Kovac reported to Dr. Parker was because you had spoken to Ms. Kovac, correct?
I don't believe I've spoken to her. I believe I was told.
So, and you weren't present for that conversation?
No.
You had no direct knowledge whether or not she actually communicated with Dr. Parker about it?
I guess not, no.
No further questions, sir.
All right. Is she excused or do you want her resequestered?
Your Honor, I'm fine releasing her from our subpoena. I know she has been subpoenaed by defense as well, Judge.
Okay, and you reserve the right to call her?
Judge, we reserve the right to call.
Okay. All right, but she can go for today?
Yes, Your Honor.
All right. Ms. West, I'm going to release you from your testimony from being in court today, but you are still considered a witness in the case, or you're not allowed to discuss this testimony or anything you've heard or testified to about this case with anyone, all right? And do you have her number to reach her?
Your Honor, I did want to also ask that you can instruct the witnesses who are still under subpoena not to watch any coverage on TV.
Correct. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And obviously, no watching of any reporting of any of this until you are, if and when you are called back or released for good from this case. Okay?
Okay.
All right. Thank you, Ms. West. You're free to leave. All right. Next witness.
Amy Kovac.
Testimony you're about to give to be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth,
and
up here?
I do.
Mm-hmm.
Come on,
see. Swatch it down. Okay.
You may proceed.
Thank you, Your Honor. Good afternoon, Ms. Kovac. Can you state your name for the jury, please, and spell it for the court reporter?
Sure. Amy Kovac, AmyKovac.
Thank you. And Ms. Kovac, can you tell the jury how are you currently employed?
With Newport News Public Schools as a reading specialist.
How long have you been employed in that fashion?
12 years now as a reading specialist, but with Newport News for 23 years. And then 10 years before in King and Queen, so 33 years.
As a teacher?
As a teacher.
Okay. And you're familiar with Abby Zwerner, correct?
Correct.
Okay. How do you know her?
From Rich Neck Elementary.
Did you two work together?
Yes.
And Amy, I want to turn your attention to January 6, 2023. Do you recall that date?
Yes, I do.
And how were you working on that day?
So that day, we had come back from Christmas break, and the state of Virginia has growth assessment tests. And right before Christmas, we had taken the winter growth state test, and I was the proctor. We were making up students that hadn't taken it before Christmas, so that's what I was doing on that day.
Were you the only proctor that day for the testing?
I was the only proctor, but Laura Harris was the examiner, so we were together.
And do you recall how many students were testing that day?
So there were three groups. The first group was like some special ed students and fifth graders together. The second group was fourth, and then the last group was third, and there was about no more than 10 per session.
Okay. And on that day, were you working closely with Dr. Parker while you were doing the testing?
Yes.
And can you tell the jury what did that look like? What was the responsibilities?
So the responsibilities, and again, I've been in a couple of other schools since that day. Usually the AP did the testing, which would have been like preparing the testing tickets, making sure they had accommodations if they had audio and needed headphones, having a testing box for each session, which had pencils, scrap paper, things like that. And then she would have had to start the testing session from her computer. So it really probably should have all been prepared ahead of time for the most part, because when Laura and myself would come in and sign off, the folders were ready.
So you were getting the folders that had already been prepared by Dr. Parker for testing?
Yes.
Okay. And just so the jury knows, what does AP stand for?
Assistant Principal.
Thank you. And was there a time that you encountered JT that day on January 6th, and we're referring to the student as JT for purposes of today.
Okay, yes. As he was coming out of lunch, I was coming out of Dr. Parker's office because we had finished our second session, and I was heading down to my office to get ready to have lunch before we had to test again at 1 o'clock. And so as I was coming out, Abby and her class were coming from the cafeteria. I had stopped at the cross section where the bathroom is, and he saw me and he ran up to me to give me a hug. I had already been aware that he was having a difficult time at lunch.
And let me pause you right there. Can you tell me, how were you aware that he had had a difficult time at lunch?
Ms. Warner had come into Dr. Parker's office, and she spoke to her and told her that he had already threatened a kindergartner during lunch, and also was, I guess, being aggressive with the security officer. And I was in the office when we were turning back the tickets and seeing what time we had to test next.
So just so the jury understands, who was in the office at that time when Abby came into the office?
Dr. Parker, myself, and Laura Harris, the special ed teacher.
Okay. Can you describe for the jury the interactions between Dr. Parker and Abby on that day, that morning?
So that morning, while we were in there at that time, Abby came in and was standing there, like, waiting to be recognized. She never was recognized by Dr. Parker. She didn't look up. She didn't look at her.
When you say she, who are you referring to?
Dr. Parker.
Thank you.
Didn't look at her. Abby did say, you know, about the threatening the kindergartner, and already, you know, he was aggressive kind of with the security officer. And then she left because she had to pick up her kids, and it was like 11:45.
Can you tell the jury, state whether or not you know if Dr. Parker heard Abby, Miss Warner, that day?
Yeah, she heard. She told me I could tell her that she could call his mom at any time to come pick him up.
So if he was continuing to act out violent, I guess, in a, what did you take that as?
Well, I took it as, like, if she continued to have problems, then Abby could call the mom.
But she didn't tell Abby that, and you're referring to Miss Warner, correct?
Correct.
And she didn't tell her that?
She did not. Okay. I did.
So when you're going to tell Abby, you encounter JT?
Correct. He came up to me. He saw me. He was happy. He saw me, ran up to me, gave me a hug. I already knew that he was being, you know, aggressive and, you know, wild. And so I had told him, I'm like, hey, buddy, you know, are you having a good day? And he was like, yeah. I said, okay, well, you know, make good choices, make Mrs. Kovac proud.
And then where do you go from there?
So from there, the rest of the class was walking down, so I just waited. And then I'm heading to my office. So Abby's room is the last room on the left. There were double doors, and then my office was straight ahead in the second grade wing. So I was heading down there to have lunch before I had to test again. And at that time, two little girls came out of Abby's room to the doorway while I was still in the hall and told me that JT had a gun in his bag.
So what did you do at that point?
So at that point, I was like, oh, I walked in and I went straight to him. I was focused straight on him. Abby was kind of coming in and getting the kids settled from, you know, lunch and getting ready for the next activity. I went straight to him. He was in a desk by the windows on the left side of the room, and he was like balled up in his seat, and that is not normal for him. So I pulled up a chair next to him, and I was like, hey, buddy, you know, what's going on? The girls tell me you have a gun in the bag. And I said, can I have that bag? Because typically he's throwing that bag. I carry that bag. You know, we're in and out. His mom carries the bag sometimes. So it was sitting right next to him on this desk, and he's balled up. I said, okay, can I have the bag? And he said, no, no one is getting that bag. That was out of character for him. And he was sitting right by it. So then he sat there quiet for a little bit, and he started talking. I was quiet. He started talking. He said, people are picking on my friend. I don't know if I could say his name, but anyway.
Yes, don't say any minor names. Thank you.
So he was picking on my friend R, and I was thinking to myself, ooh, you have a little friend already. But he said, people are picking on him. So I told him, I said, well, let me tell you how school works. If R has a problem, he can tell his teacher, he could come tell me, he could go tell anybody. If you have a problem, you can tell me, you can tell Ms. Warner, you can tell an adult. And so I said, you know, we have to worry about ourselves. And so he's sitting there. And I said again, do you have a gun in that bag? And he said, no one is getting that bag. And I was like, okay. Then Ms. Warner called them to the carpet. He came. I came and sat right next to him. Again, the board is in the front. He sat on the corner here. I sat next to him and he was facing that bag. And so we did the lesson and he was still sitting there. And then he started telling me, he said, I got new shoes on, red and black Nikes. And I was like, oh, I like those. He said, but I have to go change my shoes at lunchtime because these are new. And I was like, oh, okay. And I was like, okay. So we did the lesson. Ms. Warner got up and modeled what they were doing. And she told him what they need. He said, I need scissors and a pencil. I was like, oh, buddy, you're not getting any scissors, because heaven knows what he would do with those. I said, the lesson did not require any, you know, scissors. So then I went to Ms. Warner.
Yes, and Ms. Kovac, let me just ask, as you're describing this, so at some point you do speak to Ms. Zwarner.
Yes, and, right then, and afterwards.
Do you tell her that you're going to go see Dr. Parker?
Yes. Well, I told her, what I told her first was, I asked her when recess was. She said in 10 minutes. I said, okay, I'm going to go and I'll come back in 10 minutes to check the bag. But at that point, as soon as I left, I went and reported to Dr. Parker that the girls had reported to me that there was a possible gun. I went and sat with him. I talked with him. I told her what I had done.
And let me pause you before we get into exactly what you told Dr. Parker. So before you go down to Dr. Parker's office, do you tell Abby that there's a concern about something at this point?
Yes.
And you advise her that you're going to find Dr. Parker and talk to her?
Yes.
Okay. And then do you tell Abby to keep an eye on him until you came back?
Yes. Well, yes.
Okay. So now walk the jury through. At this point, you're going back down to Dr. Parker's office. Is she still sitting at her desk?
Yes.
Okay. What do you tell her at that time?
So at that time, I go up to her and I tell her that the girls reported about a gun, that I was in there. He would not give me the bag. He was not acting normal. And so I told her that when Abby's going out to recess in like 10 minutes, that I would be back to check the bag.
And so then, Ms. Kovac, did Dr. Parker respond to you or give you any direction?
She just kind of nodded and acknowledged that that was what I was going to do.
Okay, so you let her know, I'm going to check the backpack.
Yes.
And she didn't, she nodded her head.
Yes.
Okay.
She was aware.
Do you then go directly back to check the backpack?
No, because I was now waiting, you know, for them to go to recess. Okay. So I left her office, was heading back down to my office. When I got to my office, I looked at my cell phone. Abby had texted me and said that they were now outside, but he had gone to his book bag and took something out of his book bag and put it in his jacket pocket. So
did Abby tell you what she thought that was, or did you, what did you think that that meant?
To me, it felt like it was whatever he had, like the gun.
So what do you do once you hear that response?
So after I hear that, I go right to Abby's room and I'm checking that bag. Because again, he was acting really weird, you know. And I checked that bag and I knew it wouldn't be there because Abby pretty much told me something he put into his jacket pocket. So I checked the bag. There was a math book in there. There was a homework book in there. There was a little Spider-Man puzzle that we had made in small group that was there. He had a gold, like, little coin tokens, you know, from like a Happy Meal or something. And then in the front pocket, he had a calculator. He had not been getting math in his modified schedule. And he always wanted me, when we did reading, to do something. I taught him how to write hello on the calculator upside down.
So at that time, you've searched the bag yourself.
Yes.
Do you then go back to Dr. Parker's office?
Yes, I do.
And is Dr. Parker still sitting at her desk in her office at that time?
Yes, she is.
Is there anyone else in her office?
Not that I recall.
Okay. What do you tell Dr. Parker at this time?
So again, I tell her that I went and checked the bag. I told her just what I said to you all, what was in the bag. And then I also tell her that Abby texted me that they were out at recess, that he took something from the bag, and he put it in his pocket.
Did you tell her you thought it could be a gun?
I mean, I told her that I reported that it was a gun. I mean, the whole time I assumed she thought it was a gun because that's what the girls reported, and I went and reported to her.
And what did she say in response to you when you said he put it in his pocket?
She did say that, you know, well, he has little pockets, and I said he put it in his jacket pocket. And I was kind of mad, you know, and I walked away because I have testing. So I went down and went outside to check on Abby and to check on JT to see if he would come to me. At that time, when I get out there, talk to Abby, she said she overheard R, or you heard J, she overheard R say, keep your hands in your pocket. Don't take your hands out of your pocket.
So do you then go back in and tell Dr. Parker about that, what you saw the encounter on the playground?
So, yes, I told her that. I also...
And let me ask you, okay. Ms. Kovac, so you tell her that. At that point, do you stress to her that you feel like there's something in his pocket, that he has a jacket on?
Yes, I do. I feel like he did something. He took something... There's something.
And you weren't wavering in your statement to her that you thought he had something that was concerning that could be a gun.
Correct.
And when you go to testing, do you let Dr. Parker know, I'm going to testing, and Dr. Parker says, okay, and does she respond to you? Do you feel like at that point she's going to deal with the situation while you go to testing?
Well, I felt like the whole time she would have dealt with the situation. She was sitting right there by her phone.
So did you think she was dealing with the situation?
I did until nothing happened when
at the end of the day.
Yeah. Well, nothing had happened up to that point. You know what I mean? And then I did have state testing. So she is my boss. You know, I went and did state testing.
And once you went to go do state testing, is she relieved from her duties at that point with state testing?
For the most part, unless like a computer won't start or something, she'll reset it on her computer. But again, it's like a push of a button. And then when we bring the testing papers back, we usually sign them off, and then she'll do whatever she needs to do to get them to say that we're done. I'm not really sure of that part. But we never made it back that day for the third testing to turn in the papers.
So what did you understand the protocol was on that day when you...
Report to administrator.
And who did you report it to?
Dr. Ebony Parker, several times.
And when you went to go do testing, you left that information with Dr. Parker, correct?
Correct. That was all before testing.
Okay.
Of the last group. We had already done two sets before lunch.
And when you're in testing, at that time, you don't see Dr. Parker again or Ms. Warner, do you?
No.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Not until the end of the day?
Yes. Not until 2 o'clock.
Okay. Did you feel any assurances after you searched JT's backpack?
No. Again, he was acting so weird.
And did you tell Dr. Parker that?
Yes. Like, he was curled up. He likes to talk. So usually, you know, he'd be talking or running around. That bag, we carry it around, you know. His mom usually brings it in that week. She was bringing it in, getting settled. That was a week without, you know, mom attending school or dad attending school with him.
And so
I checked in on him. I checked in on Abby several times the days that he was there.
So when you're talking to her, do you feel that you explained to Dr. Parker that you feel this is a serious threat?
I thought so.
Okay. You were very clear that you kept going back to look and do things.
Yes.
And when you went to go testing, you told Dr. Parker at that point... He's still at recess.
Yes.
And he has a jacket on.
Yes. And then I went outside to check to see if he would come to me. And again, I told Abby, you can call the mom at any time.
But at that time, he's not acting out or misbehaving.
No, he was behind the rock wall. I thought he would come to me.
Okay. So we had his hands in the pocket. Get to the end of the day, and do you hear... Do you hear a gunshot or sound of something that sounds like a gun?
Yes. So Laura and I had finished testing. We had been sending the kids down the hall as they finished. At 2 o'clock, both of us were walking down the hall, had left her room, which is in the second grade wing across from mine. So we came through there's like double doors. And at that point I heard that gunshot, and instinctively I walked into that room. As I come in the door, Abby's on this side. I see blood on her leg, so I knew she was hit. I wasn't really sure. On this side, I see Jen open the door, the kids screaming and running out. I felt like I had a bubble of God around me, and I walked straight to him. He was standing there with his legs kind of spread open, arms crossed, and cocky. And when I got to him, I didn't say anything. I took his wrist because I knew he shot with his left hand. I walked to Abby's desk where her phone was. I put him in between my legs, put my arms around him. I picked up the phone to call 911. Remembered you have to hit 9911 to get out. I asked if this was 911. They said yes. I said, this is Richneck. A teacher's been shot. I have the shooter. Send help.
So, Amy, I'd like to pull up, read what's been marked Plaintiff's Exhibit 4, please. And can you share it with the jury this time, please? Thank you. And this is what's been marked Plaintiff's Exhibit 4. We will be asking to have that submitted to Your Honor. If we can, play that, please. And Amy, can you see it in front of you?
Oh, yeah.
So, Amy, who are you in this photo?
I'm on the left side in, like, the red and black with the short hair.
Thank you. And you're walking under a sign that says leaving second grade. What hallway is that?
Second grade hallway.
Is that the first grade hallway you're walking into?
Yes.
If we can continue playing that. And if the jury can pay attention, there is a boy coming out of a classroom. Do you know whose classroom that is, Ms. Kovac? Is that Ms. West's classroom?
Yes.
Okay. And right now, what did you hear?
At that point, when I turned around, that's when we heard the gunshot.
Okay, you'll continue playing it. And who is that that just came out of the classroom, if you know? Walking in the opposite direction, not across the hall, but down the hall.
I think...
Is that Ms. Warner?
But yes, she left as soon as the kids were on my right side and she was on my left. And I was facing him as I go into the door.
Okay, so you can continue playing that.
And I think the other one running out is Laura, because she originally had gone into the empty room next door. But when I walked in, I knew Laura would have Abby. Like I knew she was hurt. And I knew Laura was right there with me.
Thank you. Dr. Parker was going to address the situation, correct?
Correct. Okay.
That's all the questions I have at this time. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, any cross-examination?
Yes, Your Honor, thank you.
All right.
Good afternoon, Mr. Hogan.
Good afternoon.
Mr. Hogan, can you come up to the lectern, please?
Sure.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
Kovac, you've been working at Richneck for quite some time at the time that this incident happened, correct?
Yes, that was my fifth year.
And at Richneck, you had several roles. Several different hats there when you were working there?
So my role was as a reading specialist, which is a support person for the teachers to really get the best practices. If I had other roles, part of my job description is to do other duties as deemed by the administration.
One of those roles included being third in the chain of command in the crisis team, correct?
Correct. I just recently saw that my name was all over that. Teachers do not get that crisis plan. Usually there's a PD done by the administration at the beginning of the school year.
And as the third in command at an elementary school, that would mean that the superiors above you would be the assistant principal and the principal, correct?
Correct.
So in their absence, that would mean that you would take charge and responsibility for the operations of the school.
With this administration and with the administration the year before, if I was third in command, they always left the number that if there was an emergency or a concern to call the principal at McIntosh, which is right across the street at Jefferson and Richneck.
So, like, I want to focus on the day of the incident. You save you a hug, right?
Yes, at the beginning of lunch.
And the beginning of lunch?
Or no, at the end. At the end of lunch.
So right at the end of lunch, he comes up, gives you a big hug.
Yes.
But at that stage, you have received information from Ms. Warner.
That he was in the cafeteria, yes.
Right. Well, prior to that, you were present when Ms. Warner came and spoke to Dr. Parker.
Correct.
And at that stage, Ms. Warner spoke to Dr. Parker and let him know that he was misbehaving.
Correct.
And your testimony was that she didn't even look up.
Correct.
There was no response whatsoever.
No response. I thought it was rude.
You thought that it was rude. You agree that Laura Harrow was present, right?
Correct.
She also witnessed what happened, right?
Correct.
Do you recall, let's back up.
Okay.
Just to understand your testimony today, Ms. Kovac.
Today, my testimony today?
Just to be clear.
Yes.
You're testifying that Dr. Parker did not respond whatsoever.
She did not look up from her computer and say anything. She told me that I could tell Abby to call his mom and mom could come pick him up at any time.
And you recall that on this day, this is when annual testing was going on?
Correct.
Right?
It was makeup testing. So it was not the whole school. It was not all the small groups. It was just three small groups to do makeup.
At the time Ms. Warner came into Dr. Parker's office, Dr. Parker was on her computer, correct?
She was sitting at it, yes.
Right. And the computer faces the door. So the screen faces the door.
Does it face the door? No, the door was here. She was here and the computer is here.
So she was not facing who would come through the front door?
I came through the office door.
But she would not be facing you when you entered that?
I sat like she was right here.
Understood. Ms. Warner, when she came in, that encounter was very brief.
Yes.
She didn't linger. She didn't have a conversation.
No.
She was just in and out.
Correct, because Dr. Parker didn't look up at her, didn't acknowledge her, and she had to go get her kids. It was time that lunch had ended. She came in and reported that, you know, he was threatening a kindergartner and then being, like, ornery with the security officer.
At that stage, she didn't report any threat of a firearm at that stage? A threat, a firearm, weapon, ammunition, nothing?
I'm not, at that moment, no.
Correct.
We did not know about a firearm or anything at that moment.
Right. The first time you learned about that was from two little girls who came out of her classroom?
Correct. They knew I was one of his teachers on the modified schedule.
And when you received that information, you interviewed those children? You spoke with them?
I spoke with them. I was like, okay. And I walked into that room.
Did you do any follow-up investigation with the children?
Not with the children. I went right to him see what he could say and do and try and get that bag.
And so you had information that from these two children?
Correct.
That you did not speak to?
I did speak to. They spoke to me and I
spoke
correct.
Back. You're correct. You didn't follow up to confirm the basis of their...
I tried to follow up by getting that bag to see what was in it and talk to him and see what was going on.
So your focus was to go after that bag, right?
Yes, and him. And see what was going on.
Right. You had just been warned that this small child might have a firearm in an elementary school classroom. So you took immediate action, right?
Correct.
And you went directly to him?
Correct.
Right? And you sit down next to him, right?
Correct.
And you're within at least arm's reach, right?
Yes, but...
You sat right beside him.
He was here, and I sat next to him. He was balled up. I wanted him to talk to see exactly what was going on.
And the backpack, he wasn't holding it.
No, it was on the side, but he had his body close to it.
So the backpack was next to him?
Correct.
Right? And you were next to him as well?
Correct.
And you're at the third in command of that school, correct?
Not really, only when they're absent. I am not an administrator. I am a teacher with a specialized degree and certification in reading.
You're also not a six-year-old child.
No, not at this time.
No, and so when you needed to, you've confiscated contraband from children before?
No.
Never. Never as a teacher have you ever confiscated any material from a student?
I mean, papers, homework, something out of their book bag, like money if the parents sent it in, picture day.
Don't elementary school teachers, aren't they in and out of school bags all the time?
Correct.
Right? That's pretty routine.
Again, we did not, knowing JT, his behavior, his actions, and the other children being in the room, I was not going to cause hysteria. I did what I did. I sat there trying to help him based on that relationship, and then I went and reported. And I can't help what somebody else did not do.
And before you did that?
Correct. Go ahead.
When you were sitting next to that child?
Correct.
You could have just reached on over and
I could have, but I can't turn back and do anything that I did not do back then.
Right.
In retrospect.
In retrospect. In hindsight, you're not able to go back and
Correct.
Change our decision.
Correct.
But you could have easily, especially...
I don't know. I mean, I was trying to protect the children.
You were concerned about being overpowered by a six-year-old child?
Correct. If you knew him, you would be too.
Were you concerned about being out? Ooh. You're indicating that he was a threat? Did you fear?
Not me. I did not fear him. We had a good relationship, him and I. But he is very wild. Administration used to let him talk on the walkie and run around in the office.
Didn't he hug you all the time and smile at you?
Sometimes. Depended on his mood and what set him off on the school bus with any child.
Weren't you also closely involved in his student success plan?
I was...
The facilitator.
So, the year before, Dr. Parker did not do her job.
That's not the question
I asked. That was her job. I took over that year.
Ms. Kovac, I've asked you a specific question.
Your Honor, I object to the student success plan. That's beyond scope of direct.
All right. Are you intending to get into that?
I think that I'm exploring her relationship with this student. And so I don't intend to go into the details of that plan, but it will still establish and give context for the jury to understand what's going on.
Right. I've allowed you to ask her whether or not she was involved with that, and she said yes, so I won't let you dig into any more than that.
Understood.
And I would just, on the record, also object to the relevancy of the January 6th state of offense. But I understand.
And I think he's going for the link up with the relationship. And I'll allow you to explore the relationship, but that's it.
Thank you, Your Honor.
All right.
But as whether in that role, as a reading specialist, otherwise at that school, you had experience dealing with children and having to discipline them?
As a regular classroom teacher, and then... if I'm in the classroom, part of my job is co-teaching or modeling.
And when you're doing that, you also have to discipline students occasionally.
Correct.
If they become disruptive, if they don't listen to you.
Correct. So usually I would follow the teacher's, behavior plan and the consequences because the teacher is the one in charge. Sometimes I would pull the kids and just talk to them, see what's going on. A lot of times, there's different things that happen. They might be mad at another person because they looked at them, or they come from home upset. So yes, I've done discipline based on the teacher's plan, and when I was a teacher, based on my plan.
And throughout all that experience, you've searched numerous backpacks?
No, not really. Only if the parent had pretty much said, there's money in there, there's a library book in there, their homework is in there, it hasn't been turned in.
If you ever suspected that they had something that didn't belong to them, you would just tell them, go get me that book bag. You get that book bag, right?
It depends on what the situation was. In this situation, I did not feel comfortable because I did not know what his reaction would be.
Well, when you were speaking to JT, isn't it true you thought, if anything, he had a toy gun?
That was my own personal thoughts, and I told that to HR. I never told it to Parker because I would not put it past him. But just like any public school, we take children how they come, and we do not know what their home life is like.
You said you wouldn't put it past him. You mean JT?
JT, correct.
You think that he set you up?
I feel, looking back, he did set me up or somebody up.
I'm going to object to the relevancy of that question.
All right, and what's the relevance of that?
The relevancy is, I think it's conditionally relevant, Judge, and I can lay the foundation for this. Okay. I can.
All right, I'll withhold a ruling if you can lay some foundation.
Specifically, Ms. Kovac, you've testified that when you were speaking to JT and you were in Ms. Warner's classroom,
correct.
You had, at that stage, sitting next to that child, received a report that he might have a potentially deadly weapon on him, right?
Correct.
And with that knowledge, your next step was to ask for his permission to search his backpack, right?
But if he had a gun in there, I wasn't going to take that out.
You said, no, you would leave it there and continue to teach a lesson in front of the students.
I sat with them in there, with him, away from his book bag.
And then you go and you speak to Abby. Ms.
I go to, yes, to ask for when recess is, yes,
right?
And then I leave there and I go and report.
But before that happens, JT tells you, Ms. Kovac,
yeah.
I have some shoes that I need for recess.
Correct.
I need to get into that backpack later. He tells you that.
Correct.
At that stage, and you have that knowledge, you know that he might have a deadly weapon in that backpack, he has told you. He intends to access that backpack, and you leave the room, correct?
I leave the room, but I did not think about him having those shoes in the bag. That was in retrospect, after all of this has happened.
You didn't think about that because you were tripped.
I was focused on him.
He set you up.
That's how I felt in retrospect.
A six-year-old, I think we've already gone over this in the past, can't have the intent here. We're talking about setting her up. It's out of...
Your Honor, I can respond.
No, it was her words, so I'm going to overrule the objection.
It was the attorney's words to her judge.
And she agreed, so go ahead.
You're telling the jury that you were tricked by a six-year-old child.
He did not trick me. I thought of that on my own several weeks after.
All by yourself, you
correct.
Thought that? Very good.
Correct, in retrospect. And his mother also, because she carries the book bag in. So I don't know what he was thinking.
And after you leave Mrs. Warner in the classroom, you left to go to testing, right?
No, I left to go to Dr. Parker.
That's correct. You went and spoke to Dr. Parker. You let her know some of the information that you'd received. And then later you went and go and you speak to Mrs. Warner, right?
So I went back to my office and I got my phone, and Ms. Warner had texted me to say that they were now outside. And again, I left my office. I went to Ms. Warner's room. I checked his bag, but she had texted me that he took something from his bag and put it in his pocket. After I checked the bag, I went back to Dr. Parker.
Ms. Kovac,
and
I want to focus on the text messages. You said that at some stage, Ms. Warner texted you and let you know that before recess, JT might have removed something from the backpack.
No. She texted me while they were heading out right after. And by the time I got that text, that's when I texted her and said, I'm going to check the bag. And then I went back to Dr. Parker.
And later you receive a text from Ms. Warner while she's on the playground, right?
That was the text I'm talking about.
Right, and it indicates, I think I saw JT remove something from that backpack, right?
Correct.
The backpack that you left in the classroom, right? The classroom full of children, right?
I left it there, correct.
You did leave it there, as well as Mrs. Warner, with those children as well.
And again, those were the actions that we did that day, and I can't go back and change anything.
But if you could...
No, it's not a but if I could.
Objection, Your Honor, about what she could do.
Yeah,
that's
I'm going to sustain that. That's
fine, Judge.
Your Honor, I do have to strike the comment from counsel.
All right, and I'm going to, we talked about the limiting instruction that I'm going to give the jury after this witness.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Right. Ms. Kovac, I'm going to show you an exhibit that's been marked as Defense Exhibit 85. Brian, can you pull it up? Don't publish to the jury yet, please. Kobach, please read those silently to yourself. The first page there, do you recognize these documents?
The text message?
Yes. If you look at the top one, you see there it says Amy Kobach.
Yes.
And the recipient there, that number, this belongs to Ms. Abby's Warner, correct?
Correct.
Do you recognize these are the text messages that you exchanged on January 6th around the time that she was out on the playground, right?
And there's only one line, but yes.
Well, there's two pages. There's page two and page three as well. Do you see that?
They're black.
We can fix that for you. Ryan, is there an issue? Judge, I think we might have technical issues here, but I can move on to a separate related exhibit. Ms. Kobach, you said that at some stage you went out onto the playground.
Correct.
Right? And you actually spoke to Ms. Warner.
Correct.
Right? I'm going to show you what's been marked for identification as Defense Exhibit 64A. Please don't publish to the jury yet. Ms. Kobach, let me know when you see it on the display there.
Yes.
All right, and Ms. Kobach, do you recognize this? Is this the playground outside of Richneck Elementary School?
Yes, it's the primary one.
Brian, could you start the clip so that you can see what happens? I'm just going to ask you to pay attention to who comes out from the right corner. If you could pause, Brian. Do you recognize the students that came out onto the playground at that stage? Ms. Kobach?
I mean, you can't see their faces.
Let's see.
They're first graders.
Sure. Brian, if you could continue playing the clip, please. All right, that individual who just came out, that's Ms. Warner, correct?
Correct.
Okay, and this would have been when her class just went out to recess, right?
Correct.
Okay, and that would have been probably around 12:20 was the testimony today, correct?
I'm not really sure what time it was. I mean, that was 2.5 years ago.
At this moment, if you could pause, Brian, Ms. Warner's the only adult there on the playground, right?
Correct, with her class.
And this is after you had been in her classroom, correct?
Yes.
And this was after you had let her know that you had information that this child might have a firearm in his backpack, correct?
Correct.
While she's on the playground, she ends up texting you, and that's when she indicates that she saw him before recess remove something from the backpack and potentially
correct.
Put it on
his purse. I mean, I guess she was on the playground when she texted me. My phone was in the office, so when I returned to the office, after being in Dr. Parker's office reporting about what was in the book bag and what was not, then I went back to my office. So I did not look at the time as to when she reported, but it had to have been after, you know, they got, because she reported he took something from his backpack.
Understood. Just a moment. Full version?
Sure.
Ms. Kobach, please turn your attention to the screen. We'll continue playing. Your Honor, could I have permission to publish to the jury?
Any objection?
We don't have the preview on our screen, so I don't know what he's asking to publish.
I don't either.
You didn't see the video he was playing?
Oh, if that's what we're talking about, then we have no objection.
I believe so.
But I think there's an issue on our end.
Right, 64A, correct?
Daniel.
Judge, can I take, with the court's permission, could I take a brief recess? I think I'm having issues with the exhibits.
No objection.
All right, we'll take a short break, folks. Let's say 10 minutes, and hopefully we'll be back here in testimony at 3 o'clock. Okay, so let's take 10 minutes for now, hopefully. All right, court being a brief recess. And,
More continuing coverage of the Abby Zwirner civil trial is coming up. Press subscribe now so you don't miss a moment. From the Hidden Killers podcast and True Crime Today.
Extra Value Meals are back. That means 10 tender juicy McNuggets and medium fries and a drink are just $8. Only at McDonald's.
For limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. Prices may be higher in Hawaii, Alaska, and California and for delivery.